You're streaming your church's Sunday service and things are going well, but then, all of a sudden, it happens. Your video starts freezing up. What do you do? Well, we have some answers next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
The Church Solutions Podcast is on the air, so to speak, and we're episode number 424, and my name is Phil Thompson.
I'm Michael Gray.
Michael Gray is with us today. Always good to have Michael on here. Steve Lacy is busy doing other productive things. And Michael, we have a webinar coming up April 16th, and it is the 10 Commandments of Streaming Video. And people can just go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv to sign up for this free webinar. And we guarantee that it will be packed with lots of good information for you, whether you've been streaming for a long time or just relatively new at streaming. We've got some good information there that will certainly help you and help your church take your streaming to the next level, right?
Yep, it's good stuff. And if you're want some more detail about how things work and how to do it better, this is a webinar for you.
All right. So April 16th, 12 noon Eastern time. And again, just go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv. And we have lots of resources at streamingchurch.tv because that's kind of what we do. All right. So without further ado, let's jump into today's topic. You wrote a blog, and we, speaking of resources, we have lots of blogs. And you just go to blog.streamingchurch.tv. Just kind of like this podcast, we've been doing this for a long time, well over 10 years. And the blog's the same thing. We've got blogs that go way back, and it's to help you help you with your church and information. So Easter is coming up, and we'll see. I don't know how many people will hear this. This podcast will be released really probably today or a day later. So many people that subscribe to it will get it before Easter. And I think this is a timely topic anytime, but especially Easter.
So. Yeah. Right in the middle of your biggest service of the year, and suddenly you get buffering. Ah, what do I do now?
Buffering, video freezing, people complaining. Oh no, what do we do? So the blog is called 10 Ways You Can End Live Streaming Buffering. Just go to blog.streamingchurch.tv. So we're going to just jump into it. Obviously, very frustrating anytime, and especially if you're having a big event such as Easter. So let's just jump into number one, the thing that we always hit people up on. And I know some people get a little tired of this, but the truth is it's one of the main issues, and that is your internet speed. So we really encourage you, if you're having some issues, buffering, video freezing, to do a speed test on your network. Why should we do that?
Well, number one, it'll help you confirm that your network is actually working. I've recently had one of these calls come into tech support, and guess what? Their internet wasn't working. So you can't fix anything else if the internet is out in your local market area or in your city. So that's where you start.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I mean, it's not, internet's improved so much over the years, right? I mean, but there still can be glitches. There still can be problems. We've experienced it ourselves. And it does still happen. So if you're going to do a speed test, Mike, what should you be looking for? I mean, is it download you want to look for, upload? And if so, what are the numbers you should be looking for?
Well, upload's where it's at, because we're trying to get a signal out of our building, out to the servers, so then it can go to everyone everywhere. But if you're trying to send a basketball size signal through a water hose. Guess what? It's not going to work. So you've got to find where, what do you have available to you? And just as a tag to that, what your internet service provider says is not your real number. Okay. Yeah. If they says you have 40 megabytes of upload speed, you do not have 40 megabytes of upload speed. You might on occasion have a peak of 40, but it fluctuates. There's a graph. That's why I like the speed test that has the graph. It shows me literally what my signal is doing in my building.
Yeah. And one of the things that I have found over the years is we're here in Arizona, we're here in Tucson. And if you're outside of the city, you have what's called Xfinity, which is a company, Comcast. Xfinity is their residential stuff. Comcast is commercial. But I found years ago that if you use a speed test from your provider, it's always a lot higher because it's going right to their servers, which are normally not far from where you're at usually. And it's always on that. And then there's, I think, speedtest.net, I think that's a Comcast thing or something. Somehow or another, it connects to Comcast. And so we've always recommended different speed tests to give you more of an unbiased
report, for sure.
You know, and then we also recommend doing it multiple times, not just one and you're done, you know.
And during the time that you're streaming, you want to see. In a lot of cases, your issues are based on all of your neighbors are on the internet at the same time, and you're all using up the bandwidth together. And so you're competing. You need to know during your service time, what is your optimal upload speed?
Yeah. And I remember this when I was on staff with you years ago, back in the days when Tiger Woods was kind of in his glory. And I think Tiger Woods was playing golf here in Tucson. And I remember I was the Church Online guy at the time. And I remember we started to have some internet issues while we were streaming.
Yeah.
We were having streaming issues. And it's like, what is going on here? And I did a speed test and it was like nothing. And and then I thought I need to call tech support. And then I realized, wait a minute, I am tech support. And so but we found out, and it happened like I think 2 years in a row, and during the golf tournament here in Tucson. And what happened was, I guess the networks or something were robbing stealing our internet, stealing our bandwidth. And
they were definitely that we for a while we had two tournaments, and every time all of that broadcast that was happening somehow creeped into our community internet, and we had issues. And so we've got some other steps here that will help you. But I wanted to, Phil, you've got a great paradigm that you always suggest in the context of, now I've discovered what my upload speed is. And what I mean is, what is my consistent average upload speed? Now, how much upload bit rate should I be trying to send out of my building?
Yeah, I like to say three times. Some people say two times, but I like to say three times just to be safe. So if you do a speed test and your upload speed, that's what you're really looking for, is your upload speed. Your download, we're not really concerned about that. It's the upload that you want to make sure you know what it is. And so let's just take, hypothetically, you have 10 megabytes upload speed on your speed test. And if your live encoder for your video bit rate is set at three megabytes per second, which I think is still a little bit on the high side. I'm old school. I don't think you have to go real high on your bit rate, but let's say if you did three, then you're safe. You should be, in theory, you should be safe, right? If you only have 4 megabytes per second upload on your speed test and you're trying to send three, you're in the danger zone there.
Not going to happen.
Because it will fluctuate. And the other thing too is, you know, when people are in your facility and they're connecting to your internet via Wi-Fi or some other means, or the staff's downloading something on the football game or whatever, not that the staff would be watching something else during the service, but hypothetically, if even doing business. I mean, even if the church, and I think you've brought this up, even if the church, somebody's downloading a file or uploading a file to Dropbox, it's going to really affect where you're at on your at your facility. So, you want
that, that's number five. We'll get to that.
Okay,
in a minute.
That's right. I jumped ahead. Yeah, you want to chase people off.
That's
but
all
anyhow,
right. That's all right.
I get ahead of myself. So
we've got buffering. We did a speed test. We realized we don't have as much upload as we thought we had. So how do we fix it on our end?
Yeah. So that's where you get into your live encoder, whatever it is you're using, either on your computer or if it's a box, a hardware based. And you want to adjust that bitrate. You want to adjust the video bitrate and you really want to bring it down. Now you can bring your resolution down. A lot of these have automatic settings. So if you're doing 720p, the bit rate's going to be whatever it is, 2.5 megabytes. You can actually keep it 720p, and most encoders will allow you to keep the resolution the same, but you can lower or raise, but lower your video bit rate. And so you want to make that adjustment. And that way you're within kind of the norm of you've got enough ceiling, so to speak, and you're not hitting the glass ceiling and you're getting lower. Because honestly, even if you're having a bad internet day for some reason, and we have customers that, out in the rural areas that they have sometimes have really major issues, you're still better off sending a lower resolution than, not having anything at all or having a lot of buffering or skipping or freezing, So all that stuff.
Yeah, people,
so you like adjustments.
People get real worked up about, super HD quality on a stream. And if you really get deep into who streams the most and has the most viewers, it's professional gamers. They have 1 million people watching their stream. And those guys are very, very much on the focus in their stream quality as they set it for the lowest. They set it for phones and things that are the slowest possible, because they want to maximize the viewers, not make it great for the one guy that's watching it on a big screen TV. Yeah. Most of our clients, we have data in the background, and they can go see how many people are viewing on what kind of device, and then you set your bitrate accordingly. Yeah. Don't set it for the one guy that's watching on a big screen. Set it for the 100 people that are over watching it on phones and tablets.
Yeah, that's very good advice. And most people these days are viewing things on their mobile devices, most of them.
Yep.
So always good to
More than you think by far.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So number one is do a speed test on your network. This is on the blog, blog.streamingchurch.tv. All right, so we beat this horse enough. Let's go to number two. Reduce the quality of the video in the settings. Now, I guess I touched on this a little bit.
Yeah, we
again
kind of hit that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can lower the resolution, it usually in most cases it's gonna lower your video bit rate as well. And so, we probably don't have to go on this very long since I kind of covered it ahead of time. But yeah, lower resolution can really help. And again, it's okay to have a lower resolution at times. Beats having nothing. So reduce the quality of the video in the settings. The other thing would be number three. I'll just move on here if that's okay with you. Check your computer's processor level. So if you have a live encoder, it could be OBS. That's pretty popular. It could be vMix, could be Wirecast. It could be something else that's, software you've put on your computer. Your computer is driving that thing. It's the CPU, the processor. And if you have a lot of things going on, and I think we probably touch on that a little bit later, but you really want to make sure your computer processor is probably under 70%. Ideally, it would be good to have it around 50%. And of course, there's other factors too, which we can get into though. But we've seen this happen a lot. Somebody will have freezing, buffering, and we'll kind of go through this checklist and we'll ask them what their CPU is. And when they finally figure that out, it's like, well, it's at 99%, and it's like, Okay,
Okay, you're about to smoke that computer.
that's not good. And a lot of the software encoders, OBS again, or vMix, or even Wirecast, they'll have you. They'll tell you what your total CPU is. Some of them will tell you what your like vMix has vMix CPU, but you really want to look at total CPU, which vMix has at the bottom. So those things are real important because if you've got a computer and it, you might have a great computer and something happened. I don't know.
Or you have a lot of processes running in the background that you're not realizing are running at the same time. So you're running your broadcast, OBS or whatever encoder you're using, and then in the background you're doing other things. Or in some cases, people are using the same computer and running a switcher or other type software on top of OBS, and you're just doing too much for an average computer. It's one of the reasons it'd be a plug for a hardware encoder, because a hardware encoder only does one thing. It encodes the signal and sends it out. You don't have to worry near as much about wear and tear and overheating and overuse on a hardware encoder like you do on a software-based PC or Mac.
The other thing too is that if you are running an encoder on a computer, you should reboot your computer. Some people, again, some people will just leave that poor little computer running all the time, and the service is over, everybody's ready to get out the door, and you're done doing what you do, and you just kind of let it run and go, oh, it's going to go in sleep mode, and it probably could or would, but there's if you just leave it running all the time, same way with hardware encoders, you just leave them on all the time, you're asking for trouble.
They're going to
And
wear out a lot faster.
they will. And then the other thing too is reboot. But you also want to make sure that when you do fire the thing up, you give yourself plenty of time in case Windows, and especially Windows decides, yeah, we're going to force an update on you, and you're going to like it.
That's on that was on one of the checklists I made for my team back in the day. Always make sure that Windows updates is turned off. We only want to process that manually and never on a weekend. Secondly, then we actually had multiple services. We restarted all of the computer gear between each service
Okay, I remember
to
that.
give the computer a breath, let it cool off a little bit, and then relaunch the software and get going again.
Those little things really can make a big difference. And but especially, make sure that you give yourself plenty of time when you're booting that thing up in case something weird happens. Which, as we know, if something weird's going to happen, it will happen Sunday morning. So,
Eventually, it will happen on
it
Sunday, and then you'll call me and
exactly.
I'll help you.
I can
And I'll
remember.
probably say, restart your computer. That probably should have been number one. I don't know if you ever saw the IT crowd, English comedy. It's so funny. They had a script. So, this is a IT guys, this is me, tech support. And they had a script basically that they read every time. Somebody call in and they go, "Did you turn it off and turn it back on? Step one. Step two, check your internet."
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so as we move down our little list here, top 10 things, check your computer's processing level. Number four, make sure your live encoder is not overlooked. Live encoder is not overloaded. We kind of touched on that, didn't we? Already, didn't we?
We
So
did. It's kind of similar to three, but then five is pretty big deal. You alluded to this earlier. We want our so we you know a lot of churches use digital notes, and we want our folks to have access to Wi-Fi, but the catch to that is they can overload your network to where your signal can't get out of the building.
Yeah, number five is what you're referring to, limit the amount of devices connected to your network. So how do you limit
Yep.
the devices? People are walking in with their phones. How do you stop that? Just take their phones away from them?
Well, there's a few ways. You can have a separate router that is on a different ISP for your church. You can set some routers allow you to go inside and set a maximum that Wi-Fi can use. Of course, we hope that you are hardlined or a Cat 5 plug on your streaming computer, because that's always worth about 25% better improved performance. Other options are you may have to just say no, and your stream only be to get the signal out of the building, and everyone else is going to have to use their cell data or whatever in order to get the sermons. You have to do what still accomplishes your goal of being able to stream to people who are trying to watch your service online.
And did you mention this password protection might help if
Yeah,
people don't?
password protection is another way to help with that process. There's some other pieces of this that are just quick tips. I inevitably when people are having As we go down this list, I say, do you have Dropbox or something similar where you store all your files, your videos, and all the stuff that you guys use as a team? Do you have that on your computer? If you do, if it's on your encoding computer, it's probably we early on in the old days. We're running all of that, uploading videos and everything in the background, and it was making our stream buffer because it was competing with the upload. You had two uploads going at once, and they were fighting one another. And so anything that is uploading and storing files on the cloud, you got to make sure you turn that off during the service.
Yeah, that's very good advice. You really want to do that. I was just speaking with a church last night that's streaming with us, just starting to stream with us, and they are going to go ahead and get another network. They're going to get a different network just for their streaming. So if you
If
have
you can
that,
afford it, it's the right thing to do.
if you can do that's a really good thing. I know money's always tight, but if you can do that, they really take it serious. All right, so limit the amount of devices connected to your network. That's number five if you're keeping score at home. Number six is restart your router. So tell us a little bit about that. I don't really restart, like I have in my office here, I rarely restart my router, but tell us a little bit about that. What does that do and why should we do it?
Routers still similarly, it's a mini processor that's running, and if you put your hand on one, sometimes they're pretty hot. It's another computer that's in the loop of your signal getting out of the building, and so sometimes you got to restart that. And so I do have to restart my router every now and then when my internet gets to lagging a bit. And it almost always helps. So it is another possibility of troubleshooting to make sure that your buffering goes away.
Okay. Number seven, move your wireless router closer to your streaming device. Elaborate a little bit on that. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you have a very large building, and you're connecting to a router on the far side of the building, your signal is not going to be very good. First of all, I hope you're not using Wi-Fi. It can be done. It can be done, but it's not optimal. You'll get better results if you plug in a hard line to your computer from the router and go direct. It's faster, 25% faster on your upload if you have it plugged in with a hard line. But if not, then move that router closer to either move the router closer to you or move your streaming setup closer to the router so that you're very close and have a very strong signal.
I work out of my home here and I've always done that since I started working with streamingchurch.tv. And I have a my home is really weird because my router, all my connections for my internet are not in the front of the house. They're way in the back in the master bedroom, and like and it's just kind of weird the way they have it set up. And so how did I get on that track? It's just oh
Being
I
close to your router,
yeah,
yeah.
being close to the router, but I remember I do have we have these ports that was built, and so you can use Cat 5, you can use cable to get into your computer. So I have a cable connected to my computer here right now, but it's an old cable and the end of it broke off. And so sometimes it will slip out of my computer. And my computer will automatically go into the Wi-Fi. It will catch the Wi-Fi signal. And life is usually okay. But I think I was doing a podcast, maybe it was Steve last week. I don't remember, but I remember there's a little bit of buffering during our podcast because we do this on Zoom and then we do the video and then we strip it down for the audio. But I remember thinking that's kind of weird. I see a little bit of buffering here, and then just I think it was just a couple days ago I happened to notice that my Cat 5 had fallen out of my computer port
Oh no.
because at the
So
end of
you've
it's
been working
broken.
on
It's
Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it's an old cable, and I,
Yep.
I just don't want to buy a new cable, but the end of it had broken off, so it slips in, but it comes out real easy. It doesn't clip
Yep.
in, and so I realized, that's the problem. That's why
Yep.
I didn't have quite the internet that I do when I'm connected to a Cat 5, and
Another thing you can do, and I've done this at my home, is I've added a mesh network to my house.
oh
And
yeah.
so Eero, Eero is the brand that I use. There's some other brands, and they're small little boxes that are in other areas of your house where you need to boost your Wi-Fi. And so there's one unit that's plugged in directly into your router, into your internet. And then the other little boxes, couple more boxes, depending on the size of your house, makes you have strong signal all over the house.
So, are they like extenders? Are they like Wi-Fi extenders? Or are they a little different?
It's different, but yes, it's
Okay.
not an extender. It is if you're near one of the boxes, it's the same as if you're sitting right by the router.
Okay.
You're going to have really fast internet.
I had bought some kind of an extender a couple of years ago, some cheap thing, and it was a piece of junk, and it just didn't work right. And
Yeah, they've
yeah.
always been kind of, but in the last 5, 8 years, these mesh networks that they've come up with are really effective at sending very quick signal to remote areas of your house or
So
your church in this case.
churches could use that.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's move on here. So move your wireless router closer to your streaming device, and if you can use a cable, that would be good.
Yeah,
Wi-Fi's
number
okay,
eight,
but
wired connection. We've already hit that.
Considered using a wired connection. Yeah, so that's important too. That would keep things from being a problem. And number nine is keep your computer healthy. So should you feed it like vegetarian food, not have a lot of meat.
No. A lot of keeping it healthy is not downloading a bunch of superfluous junk on your computer that maybe has malware in it or some kind of malicious software that's attached to those downloads. Those are typically the worst things that really harm your computer.
Clickbait, right?
Yeah, what you may accidentally click a link that says it's from your cousin Mary, and suddenly you don't even realize it in the background, something installed, and you've got some nasty viruses running on your computer.
It can happen, especially with Windows. Mac's a little better, right? Mac's, I mean, I used to use a Mac years ago, but you use Mac, and Mac's a little better at that, right? They're pretty good at keeping.
Yeah, it's definitely better on a virus side of things, but it still happens and it can happen. It's just not as often. So you probably need a good antivirus that has malware and virus removal, and you need to check that pretty regularly or have it running all the time. and just be careful with it. And I think we hit on even our next point a little bit. Another really thing, a great thing to keep your computer healthy, if you're using a computer, is to shut it down. Don't have it running all the time, and don't have it be the computer that the kids are playing on during the week. Protect that computer just like you would anything that is a valuable tool that gets your internet signal out of the building.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure you shut it down, and give it time. And as we mentioned earlier, give it time to boot up when you are going to use it, and be careful on the updates. So, all right, good deal. All right, so I think that's probably pretty good. You can always relive these notes by going to blog.streamingchurch.tv, and you'll see the 10 ways you can end live streaming buffering. There's some other things too, but these are the majority of the issues that we come across helping churches. And if we can help your church in any way, we can certainly try to do that. Just reach out to us and just go to streamingchurch.tv and we'll try to help you. Whatever we, even if you're not a customer, we'll try to help you. I've
We
helped a
do
lot of
it quite
people over the
often.
years. Yeah, we do. We're all for that. So, all right. So, all right, good. So that sounds good. So I want to remind people, sign up for the April webinar. It's April 16th. It's the 10 Commandments of streaming video. And you can go right now and sign up at webinar.streamingchurch.tv. And if you get around to it, check out streamingchurch.tv/resources. And you can see some of the things that we have there, past webinars, as well as podcasts and a bunch of other things that we have on there. We're all about trying to help churches. All right. Well, Michael Gray, thank you so much for your time today. We do appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
And it's always a pleasure to hear from our viewers or listeners. And if you haven't subscribed to the Church Solutions podcast, I hope that you will do that. Tell a friend, give us a rating if you can. And that would certainly be something that might be beneficial for you. All right, well, we're done here. I'm Phil Thompson on behalf of Steve Lacey and the rest of the gang here. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We'll catch you on another episode of the Church Solutions podcast. Please take care of yourselves and each other.